This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, July 16th. 17th. Actually, this is Wednesday.
Wednesday,
I miss a whole day. This Wednesday, July 17th, is a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and today is Man Down Mashup Wednesday. That means we combine both shows together and where we analyze the news. Good news is happening inside the news, Aaron. And the good news, what has happened inside the news, is finally, the SIB is on the ground and probing allegations has started, Fernandez says. I want you to read that article. I want you to read that article so I can hear, so everyone can hear the good news, and we talk about things that is positive.
All right. I wanted to just sort of close out the conversation about the cruise port, right?
Go ahead.
Because sometimes, I guess, the interrogative critique makes people uncomfortable, right? And I could imagine people say, "Oh, you're imagining things. You're putting things there that are not there." But what I look for is a space where we could interrogate things thoroughly and critically, mm-hmm. not for the purpose of shutting down or demeaning, dissing, but to ensure that we have explored all of the potential questions, concerns, and possibilities, which are not all negative.
But there are times we are too critical.
There's never a time when you are too critical.
But there are times we leave open the way for conspiracy theories.
We do have a responsibility as holders of the public airways to measure our speech, to ensure that it can be bound. But I think that people who are committed to a theory before they enter the conversation will only use what they hear to reaffirm what they already believe. And so there's a thin line between moderating a conversation or curating a space so that you can have a, I guess, sensible conversation and not speaking about things out of the fear that people will attach an agenda to what it is you're saying. You can't just sit in silence. And the point is, if there were a space where these conversations were taking place that the public could have access to, then perhaps we wouldn't require this level of critical interrogation in the public airwaves or in a talk show style discussion.
But is it that, or there's adequate information already? It was just that at times we're just too critical of what is obvious. It's obvious what's happening is a good thing, right? And this overly critique of what is booming, what is good, people are actually doing investment, tends to sour the investors' attitudes. Say, man, I'm doing all of this, and you just keep on questioning all the time. Sometimes you just let it flow.
No.
No?
No. But the government were doing its job, then ordinary citizens wouldn't be required or feel the need to engage in critical discourse at this level, right? These conversations can be perceived as attacks or overly critical interrogations of foreign direct investors' projects, right? But really, it is a demand from the government that they create a space so that ordinary people will understand what the government's role in the project is, what the average citizen's role in the project is, and that we would come to understand that the government has taken into consideration any possible detrimental impact on ordinary citizens generally, or particular sectors specifically, right?
It just sounds as if you're not satisfied by what is being reported, and that perhaps we need to invite these people on, and then we could just mash them up. No, I'm sorry. Then you just ask them questions. Similar like how we interrogate, we ask the same questions that we are asking now, but they'll be in studio to defend themselves.
So watch this. Here's my position on that. Sure, absolutely. But I shouldn't have to come and find you to ask you if you will come on my show or anybody's show and clarify what it is that's being reported in the paper. You as an entity...
Should just volunteer and say, come, I come in?
As a part of your protocol as a foreign direct investor or any investor, as a part of your programming, you should be reaching out to media entities to ensure that you are curating a conversation in the public domain so people can understand the value of your project and why it is that you are requesting access to the Bahamas, why it is you may be requesting concessions, incentives, or exemptions.
I always thought that the news reporters would have done this for me, right? And I find myself wanting after reading the newspapers, man, this don't make no sense. After reading the newspaper, I get frustrated. So this don't make no sense. But enough of that. I won't talk about good news. I hear you. I won't talk about...
See, that's the point I'm making. Why does every critical conversation relegated to the space of bad news?
Yeah, but let's reach out and see if these people are able to come. And then we put these questions to them.
Mm-hmm.
And see what type of answers. Then we do a critical analysis on it, and hopefully we don't come up to the same conclusion again.
3 months later, 4 months later.
Yeah.
But and then you're frustrated again.
And hopefully the reporters then do the
follow-up stories, the follow-up story. Right? That's another element in the environment, right? People come to the radio for real-time engagement. Sometimes I take a day or two so that I can do as much research as possible and read, and listeners are frustrated because they want to talk about the issue as soon as it's in the paper, right? Yeah. Which is why a protocol or a strategy where if you're a company and you see an issue related to your company is in the paper, you have a PR team. Mm. Pick up the phone right away and say, man, Guardian, I see you covered this story. I'd love an opportunity to sit with you and your audience so we could flesh out what it is in the paper. Because the audience desires a real-time conversation, and we are attempting to moderate the space, understanding our responsibility, giving it some time, but to then say that you should wait until the stakeholder or the entity at the center of the conversation is prepared to talk.
This is similar to the disclosure.
Public disclosure.
I'm still waiting. I sometimes say, man, what's the sense complaining about it? You know, I'm not sure if anyone wrote...
Because you can go to jail if you don't pay your taxes.
I'm not sure if anyone wrote about it since.
I can go to jail if I don't pay my taxes. You could go to jail if you don't pay your taxes.
Anyway.
But we don't even know what taxes politicians ought to pay to determine whether they're paying it.
This big country, let them don't declare. Let's talk about the positive news. I want you to read that article. I am happy that despite the commission says he's not going to speak on it, that he actually gave new information on the investigation, on the allegation, the voice recording type thing. And I wanted to get update on what is happening now. And I'm happy that he put some new information on it. So go ahead.
I know we're going right now, but do you know if the tourism sector puts out a quarterly journal? Do they put out a yearly journal, right? Did they publish what's going on in the tourism sector so that ordinary citizens and stakeholders in the conversation, like the media, can continually educate themselves on what's taking place so that they can build better context for the stories that they're interrogating? I'm just saying, and tourism is the most is one of the most successful spaces in the Bahamas.
It's everybody's business.
I guess that's why I'm talking about it, eh? Good day. SIB on ground, probing allegations, Fernandez says. This is on the top fold of today's Nassau Guardian. Commissioner of Police Clayton Fernandez said yesterday investigators from the Security and Intelligence Branch who are probing recordings that allege corruption in the force are on the ground and speaking with people. While SIB is leading the investigation, the commissioner previously said international entities from the U.S. and U.K. will assist in the probe. In an interview with ZNS yesterday, he said the Royal Bahamas Police Force has had to, quote, document what we wanted and the assistance we needed, close quotes. Quote, we are moving very quickly with that, close quotes. Fernandez said, noting that he is waiting for a response. The Nassau Guardian was told that the force has asked Scotland Yard in the UK to help in the investigation. Scotland Yard refers to the headquarters of the London Metropolitan Police and more specifically its Criminal Investigation Department. A diplomatic note is set to be sent to the UK, the Guardian was told. The Tribune also reported last week that the police intend to ask Scotland Yard for help. Regarding the investigation so far, Fernandez said, quote, I am pleased in the investigators here on the ground from SIB. They are on the ground. They are working and they are seeing persons and they are documenting. So we're going to move to page 2. Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to move to page 2. So investigation is going very well at this time. The recordings, which were leaked on social media nearly 2 weeks ago, revolve around conversations between a purportedly wanted suspect and two other men. In the conversations, the wanted suspect speaks with two men about turning himself in and how much it would cost for him to be released after speaking with police. Chief Superintendent Michael Johnson, head of the Criminal Investigations Department, was sent on garden leave with his full pay and benefits after the voice recordings went viral. Fernandez said the investigation must be thorough and fair and stressed that every individual is presumed innocent until proven guilty. He said yesterday, quote, the vast majority of the officers are good officers. I'm talking about professional officers. As you know, we continue to weed out the bad apples. Yes, some of the officers feel down. I had the opportunity to speak to a number of officers from different areas, and they are prepared to rally together to ensure and protect the reputation of this noble organization, close quotes.
Mm-hmm. So that's good news. There are one or two questions I would ask about that, right? How long will the Scotland Yard take to respond to say they come in? When they come?
What happens if they respond and say they don't feel in their services are required? Or they can't come?
Then we continue on and then we have the SIB will continue the investigation, right? Mm-hmm. I heard that SIB is on the ground. I'm not sure what that means, but I'm assuming they're interviewing the family members, right? And I'm not sure how comfortable the family members would feel being interviewed by the police, especially with the aspersions the family members have already said. So I'm an advocate of a independent but local Bahamian investigative team. But I understand the police have to do what the police have to do, and they'll use whatever facilities at their disposal to make sure it happens. But I'm glad to see that the commissioner has decided to come to the public, give us an update, even though it's kind of thin, give us an update that they started. And we can determine whether we satisfy with the start, right? I know that the investigation will be private, so we don't know exactly what they're doing. But at least we know that something is happening. Exactly what, we don't know, but something is definitely happening.
This is good news.
I mean, that's something positive to say. Something is happening. Something is happening. I love how they have become specific and only one allegation is being rendered, that one particular police is being investigated, interrogated, and it's not a network of police. No one else is involved. It's not a organization, right? I see that the opposition was calling for a commission of inquiry, right, and on whether this is a systemic problem within the force. And of course, it's been dismissed. The chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party said, no, we need to keep the integrity of the police force. There has never been any accusation of the police force doing any kind of corruption in any large scale, right? Because all entities have issues, and no, they police themselves. So I would have been concerned whether the individual had people involved with him, if there is any truth in this to this allegation. And it just seems as if it's going to be specifically centered towards him instead of the that section, you know, who all he works with, you know, the CID, proper protocols and procedures are in place. So I'm waiting on the Scotland Yard to come and see how they will make it fair, right, and whatever that means. And if they're not here in Nassau, is it fair now, the pre-investigation, or it becomes fair when they reach?
That's good questions. I sitting here wondering when the police going to address left on red. I not even worried about all them things, garden leave and how many officers being investigated. I just want to know when the police are going to start enforcing traffic controls.
Yeah,
I want to know how the insurance industry...
I don't even ask questions.
How the insurance industry feels about a officer, an officer indicating that the police are aware of the law, but they're not necessarily prepared to enforce it. That's where I'm focused. I ain't worried about all of that, how many people, bad apples, all of that. I just want to know if somebody going to enforce traffic controls. I want to know if police officers in cars observing traffic infractions are actually going to begin enforcing traffic control. That's all. You say, you know, it is what it is. That's all I'm reaching for, low-hanging fruit.
Low-hanging fruit.
It's fruit season.
We get a text here that says, I find it very curious. The FBI was locked out. The FBI have in their possession the man who had knowledge of the tapes. If you investigate, how can you ignore that? I know one thing for sure. The FBI taking everybody name who get call and checking them out. Seriously, Cecil, one man do all of this? And I guess he's asking the same thing. How can only one person be investigated? And I don't think the FBI is being locked out. I believe our police are open for any kind of partnership with this. We know we have identified Scotland Yard. We have a rapport with that agency, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And perhaps the agencies have indicated, look, it doesn't make sense you call FBI and Scotland Yard. Choose one. Right. All coordinate. We all work together. If FBI needs Scotland Yard's assistance, they will petition and vice versa.
Yeah. So like I said, it is good news, and we need to appreciate it for what it is and wait for them to be on ground. There's no timeline. Question would be, should there be a timeline for when the Scotland Yard will be here in Nassau?
Mm-hmm.
Can they do this investigation remotely to say, well, I can coordinate you all from the UK, and I don't necessarily need to be in the Bahamas to ensure integrity?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Should someone give us that type of information? Like, this is their role. This is what they're going to be doing. And even though they're not physically here in the Bahamas, they are already partnering with us, providing this expertise. Right? I don't know. I just don't know. But that's some of the questions. We see we have a caller here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to the caller. Go ahead, producer. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you can hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, man. Go ahead.
Good day, Ms. Green.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing, listening to what you read just now and what Neri had to say, sound like a big joke. Sound like a big joke.
And explain. I had a criticism, though. And there's like I said, we did a survey, or reread a survey, that 90% of the Bahamians have no confidence. And that's, we tend to be anti-government, anti-police in general. So that could be just being negative. Right? Not necessarily that we have confidence. But you're saying it's a whole joke.
Why are you saying how you explain it right now, right? I don't know if to say you're sitting on the wall or the fence, or it sounds like you're picking a side, and you almost sound like you really believe and mean what you're saying, but then it's that word which is used, sarcastic or something like that. We don't know when you're doing it or what, but I know you respect the poll or the opinion that 90% of people feel a certain way. And it's like, when I say a big joke, it's like they're doing everything like the wrong way. They start off with the wrong foot. It's like, I think what they should be doing is assisting in this investigation and let the other independent grouping of people, locally and foreign, lead the investigation. This grouping of people or organization or department and on the force, what you call SIB, this whole thing is wrong, and it's not satisfying the people, and you know, it's making a mockery of the system. It's like you hold your hands up, you don't know what to do. You talk about it, it's like the people talk back to you like you're supposed to be foolish and stuff like that. Nobody want to degrade the police force or the police officers. We have people degrading themselves. And commissioning inquiry, I don't know if that's the farthest you could go. But you need to do something where it could not just set an example, but try to clean this whole thing up. You read something, I see yesterday or day before yesterday, where the commissioner was saying, it ain't just one person what to do the investigation. It's a team of people. And that's the same way when it comes down to corruption. It's not just one person, man. And, you know, like I say, the sarcasticness or sarcastic what you be doing and stuff like that, we kind of should understand it, but you be pulling out the best in people and making people really, really think when you do it. And it almost sounds like you believe what you're saying.
It's manager. But Papa, what is it that you, let me ask you this question.
Except them investigating themselves, or you can imagine them family members who they supposed to be on the ground talking to. They don't want to talk to them. They need an independent set of people, and that's the FBI or whosoever it is, you know, to talk to the people. We have local former justices sitting on, might be retired, some might still be on the bench. These are the kind of people. We don't need the commissioner or his deputy or no one. All of them have someone to answer to, and the commissioner is the head. They need the whole place investigated to find out what's going on. This is a joke. The police force is not the only place.
Thank you, Papa. Thank you for your contribution today.
Yeah, no, I appreciate Papa's concern. And a number of us are concerned, but definitely, we need to support our police. We definitely need to support our police. I personally know that not all of the police force can be found wanting, right? Surely there's one or two bad apples, but we're talking about we wanted the integrity of the investigation, how far down, how far up it goes. And now we are questioning whether our police force is able to police themselves, one, and we question whether we trust the police force to investigate themselves. That's two different things. Mm-hmm. Whether they can do it, and do we trust them to do it? Is there any reason not to trust the police force? What have they done to say, well, no, I don't trust them as a whole? You know, like I said, in every end, I was reading that Scotland Yard had an entire ring, child pornography that they was investigating in the Scotland Yard themselves,
mm-hmm.
right? And imagine that entity has issues amongst themselves, that they have to police themselves and interrogate themselves, that we can do the same thing, to do that locally, because we have professional police officers here. I just wanted a secondary element of having private investigators, independent private investigators, Bahamian, on the ground, watching over and being assisted with support by the police force, but not necessarily leading it, that they're being directed by the private investigators that we want you to ask this, we want you to go this, and then we gather the information and we make a conclusion on it, not an individual or individuals within the force to conclude that, yes, this is what happened, or no, this is not what happened.
Do you know, in the U.S., they have a branch IA, Internal Affairs,
mm-hmm.
right? And those officers, like judges, they keep themselves separate from other officers in the force, There's a culture that develops of what do you call it? Enmity, which is like bad feelings between
enmity.
Regular officers in that particular unit, but their job is to conduct internal investigations, right? To investigate the police. Do we have a similar unit here in the Bahamas?
We have a place where you complain.
There's complaints and corruption unit, right?
But and you notice that we didn't use them.
That's what I'm saying. Do they have the capacity, right, to investigate internally, or are they just like a receiving unit where they sort of receive complaints and then they pass them on to other entities within the force to then give them a directive, you know, this is the way we're going to approach this, or this is, you know, deemed to be a frivolous matter. Because that would be the local entity, I assume, that would take on the task of investigating.
Yeah. Let's go back to the newspaper. Let's see what else there, Aaron, that we can discuss.
200. Oh, well, they're the cannabis stories.
Yeah. I want to read the cannabis stories because I see how many jobs. They say thousands of jobs.
Where they said that?
That's, I had it in the headline. I have that still.
Today's Nassau Guardian.
No, that was yesterday. Yes, Nassau Guardian. That okay. The cannabis industry will create thousands of jobs.
PM pledges huge impact from cannabis. That's yesterday's Guardian.
Yeah.
PM cannabis law long time coming. That's yesterday's Tribune. Interest groups hopeful on marijuana legislation. That's yesterday's Tribune. Minutes legalized recreational cannabis use. Yesterday's Guardian. And then on the 15th, Monday, let pharmacists dispense cannabis, and Dr. Darvill, special exceptions can be made for medical marijuana use for children. You want to go to the phone line?
Yeah, man, let's go to the phone line. Welcome to Guardian Radio AM with T.A. Nuri. Go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Nuri and Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I called before you all start talking about this cannabis thing to comment on this Scotland Yard investigation.
Yes, hello? Sir. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Go ahead.
Yeah, because I got some concern about, you know, that King Airwood was busted with that drugs one.
Hold on, say that again. The what?
That King Airwood was busted with all that drugs 1 month
was
after
the King Airwood
government came to power.
Hold on, pause. I'm not sure exactly what you're saying.
The King Air in Colonel Hill, Crooked Island.
Oh, with the officer in charge of Crooked Island, or that was Ackland, one of those islands, got arrested for some type of drug bust. I'm not sure what kind of airplane it was, so, but go ahead.
The same King Airwood, they're trying to say they need $2.5 million to refurbish. They need to investigate that, the circumstances, how it was landed that night.
Okay, cool.
In the middle of the...
Okay, dear caller, I pressed the button because this is a very delicate conversation. You could see that Mr. Nuri is treating it delicately. Let's be careful what we say in the public airwaves so that we do not pervert the course of justice for any individuals involved. Now, let's be careful. It's primarily why we read directly from the newspaper as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Let's continue with the article. Go ahead.
I want to start with Minnis legalized recreational cannabis use.
Go ahead, read it with Minnis.
The Davis administration should legalize the recreational use of cannabis in the Bahamas, former Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis said yesterday. Minnis, who was speaking in Parliament during debate on a compendium of bills that would legalize the medical use of cannabis, said the government should go further. Quote, we should consider alcohol and cannabis in similar terms, close quotes. The Kalani MP said, quote, both may be used recreationally. In moderation, they can be used responsibly. However, abuse can lead to health and behavioral problems. Nonetheless, we allow adults to use alcohol with rules. There is a minimum age to buy alcohol. There are regulated vendors for the sale of alcohol. There are hours when it can be sold. You are not allowed to drive while intoxicated with alcohol. You all remember that, right? Similar rules should be put in place for the recreational use of cannabis. Quote, it is time that we legalize it and allow people to make their own decisions on its use. I believe in personal responsibility when it comes to adults and issues such as cannabis. I do not drink. I do not smoke. These are the choices I have made. Some people drink and or smoke. They hold jobs, raise families, pay their taxes, and are responsible members of society. We should not continue to criminalize cannabis in this day and age. We must allow consenting adults to make their own choices. Close quotes. Legislation to regulate the cannabis industry was first promised by Minnis when he served as prime minister between 2017 and 2021, but it never came to fruition. Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Tourism, Investments and Aviation, Chester Cooper, said yesterday he was surprised to hear the former PM's position. Cooper has for years called for medical cannabis to be legalized. Quote, to hear Kalani stand here to talk about what we should do is pretty hilarious. Close quote, said Cooper, as he pointed to several news articles where he called on then PM Minnis to act on legalizing cannabis for medical use. He said it is interesting to hear Minnis, quote, speak about what he could have done and what he didn't do, but is asking us to do, close quotes. Quote, I can't believe the transformation of the member of Kehlani who now wants to see this happen and wants to see that happen, and he had the opportunity to do it and he didn't, close quotes. Cooper said the bills would create a controlled system for cannabis use for medical and religious purposes. The new legislation would remove cannabis from the list of dangerous drugs and allow for the expungement of records for individuals convicted of the possession of 30 grams or less of Indian hemp. The bill would also decriminalize cannabis possession under 30 grams. People caught with cannabis will be subject to a $250 fine. Minnis said the fine is too high and recommended that government reduce it to $50. End of article.
I have no problem with that. I don't agree with smoking weed, but the argument of why it should be legalized is sound. It's playing with people's emotions. Either we can police it, because people will get access to this because our culture is changing. Mm-hmm. So I think that there should be a debate or movement about how we're going to look at weed in the future.
What I would want to ask is, in this exchange, in this opportunity to speak, why hasn't Minnis explained why it is he didn't?
See, that's politics. The idea is, do we want it legalized or not? The politics, I understand. There is politics involved. But there are behemoth lives also involved.
Yeah, that's not politics, though, Yuri.
Which trumps the politics of it. Should it be looked at as something that we could police ourselves? And then you could talk about why he didn't legalize it a long time. Or we'll be just stuck on why we legalized it a long time and still don't pass it.
Those are words.
Yeah, it's a
lot of words. Not sure I like how you construed them, but those are words. Because I'm going to say that Minnis explaining why it is he didn't legalize recreational use when he was PM is vital for future movement.
Mm.
Right? I think that's a very important point made by Cooper. You had the opportunity to legalize recreational use and you didn't. Why? Also, I would like Cooper to explain, it's not sufficient for the reporter to say, well, listen, we have on record Cooper asking for medical cannabis, right? But I would like also to hear from Cooper, since he's inserted himself in the conversation in this way, why is it that the PLP administration has not legalized recreational use?
I still won't get to, and I hear you, and both arguments should be had.
Particularly because Darvill himself, we can read in the article,
because all seem to be anti-recreational weed or marijuana.
Right. In the article, let pharmacists dispense cannabis. And then in the article, interest groups hopeful on marijuana legislation. Darvill and other state actors indicate that it's easy to come back to amend, right? We have opportunities.
We know better than that.
So that's the point that I'm making, is let us have the conversation now so we could have a better understanding of the extent to which it is likely that legalizing recreational cannabis will be introduced in the short term.
Hmm. I have a caller, but I still want to get to the jobs because I want to know how did we come up with two that this how many jobs would be resulting because of this cannabis industry. I don't see it. But I'm not saying it doesn't exist, because I'm sure they interrogate the numbers, whatever it is. But do we have a market to be selling miracle marijuana? Do have anyone explained who we targeting, or we don't have to worry about that? That the producers of the medical marijuana worry about who they're going to sell it to?
No, no, it's a Schedule B drug, right? And so the people selling it can't determine who they're going to sell it to. And that's a part of the pharmacist's intervention in the conversation, reminding the state that as per the law as it exists now, only pharmacists dispense medicine, right? And so only doctors can prescribe the medicine to you.
You can't say you're sick and therefore I use it.
Right. You can't say, oh, I'm sick. You can't see it's not coming out my nose. I need some weed.
Okay. Look for the article for me. Let's go to the call in the meantime because I still am amused about how many people they estimate to be in this industry. And I want to know how they came up with that number. Let's go to the call. Go ahead, Carla. Can you hear me?
Carla, can you hear us?
Hello?
Hey, yes, hey, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Morning, Mr. Nuri, and morning, Ms. Green. Hope you're doing right this morning.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely.
Well.
Yeah, I agree with Mr. Nuri. I love to see how them detail how they're gonna get the thousands of jobs, like how they expect it to break down, how they expect who to be where, and why they anticipate it to be thousands. I love to see that type of thing, because for far too long, our government just throws out things at us as if just to impress us, you know, in a kind of way, without giving any kind of real explanation on how they can achieve whatever it is they talk about. And when CA was talking about, I think he was asking about the medical thing and stuff like that, there was a time a gentleman was on, he was advocating that individuals from foreign countries shouldn't be able to bring their cards here or whatever and get it, because something like that was his point. He felt as if it should be done a different type of way, but that was his argument. But when he was on, he was talking about, and he admitted that, yes, you know, there's an expectation, you know, for money. He said that I'll be lying if I said it wasn't, you know, money to be made, or, you know what I mean? But then the other day I heard him talking again, and he was saying, well, the market here is small, so it's not about the money, you know what I mean, in terms of the medical use, et cetera. So I guess they don't really, according to him now, they don't really anticipate making the money from the locals. I mean, you know, that kind of way. So I'd like to know, when he first said it was about the money, if he was just strictly talking about foreigners, you know. But and Ms. Green, I think you when you was talking about the water park earlier, the creation of the 307 jobs, I feel as if a lot of money is spent sometimes on these projects, and the amount of jobs that they produce, in my opinion, is minimal. You know, I feel as if that they invest more in locals who could train individuals to do certain crafts that could service to the tourists, that you could get much more for your money, and you could create entrepreneurs and individuals who could do for themselves, as opposed to individuals who depended on some employer, some water park, or some type of hotel, you know, that kind of way. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and I've noticed too, like how Popov is talking about CA Nuri's sarcasm, right? Now, CA, I hope you don't, we enjoy you on the radio, CA. You know, we think you're a good host, you know, that kind of way. Now, we all know that you and Ms. Blocky be good friends. Now, I mean, I noticed on certain things, CA, like, I don't know if it's sarcasm or if you, someone getting to you. But we don't want to see you disappear and get appointed to some other kind of post.
If I get a big position, let
you're
me
gone.
Go. Of course.
That's why I'm trying to say that you're not, because I know you like them free things, CA.
I like free things.
Yeah, but we're trying to, but we need people, CA, who could, like, forfeit sometimes. I mean, if you
have a good wife to take care of, if they give me a position, I agree.
Don't cast aspersions.
He's playing. No, I understand what he's saying, man.
If you have everything you need, say, man, you got to keep your integrity.
I want more things.
You know what I mean? Your integrity is priceless.
I need more things. I need to go Canada too.
I mean, man, but say, man, so you want someone cut off your ability to speak on things that you?
I can leave Aaron here.
Speaking it on?
I can leave Aaron here. She can do it.
You'll have a good day, man.
Yeah, man. Take care. Aaron, go hold the fort till the fifth come, and I'll be in Canada. You find my article yet?
Those are words. I don't like how you construed them, but they are definitely words, sir. So, I have these two articles. I can't find out where the 1,000 jobs part is in the article. PM
it's the same.
Pledges. huge impact from cannabis.
Let me share the headline there, but I want to talk about, as we're going to break, I got a text about Purple Track and their water. It says, can you find out maybe through your show what the water issue is in Purple Track? It's like every morning around 8 a.m., the water pressure is low. And by 11 a.m., it's completely turned off. The people in the residence in Purple Track concerned. They saying they had no water in weeks, right? So the powers that be need to investigate it. I'm not sure if it's just one person complaining about it or the entire area is vexed about it. Mm-hmm. But Purple Track ain't get no water. And they mad. And they want everyone know that it's a water issue. Anyway, let's take this short break and we'll continue. I'm looking like I can find an article for you.
You think they called water and sewage?
They need to call water and sewage.
I mean, you think they already did?
I assume so. And they need to. Anyway, Guy and Rio in AM with CNR. We're going to be right back.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Parents, it's that sweet time of year again.
The kids are going back to school,
so pick up your copy of the Nassar Guardians Back to School Supplement, cause
it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Put your students in the latest styles at the lowest prices, because summer break is almost over, and our Back to School Supplement is filled with brand name back to school supplies at discounted prices, store locations, hours, and contact details.
It's the happiest season.
Advertisers, call the Nassar Guardian today at 302-2300 or call your account executive to get in on the 2-insertion deal. If it's uniforms, shoes, books, backpacks, calculators, art supplies, laptops, tablets, or whatever is on your back-to-school supply list, your ad should be in the Nassar Guardian's back-to-school supplement.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Parents, it's that sweet time of year again.
Okay.
The kids are going back to school, so pick up your copy of the Nassar Guardians Back to School Supplement, cause
it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Put your students in the latest styles at the lowest prices, because summer break is almost over, and our Back to School Supplement is filled with brand name back to school supplies at discounted prices, store locations, hours, and contact details.
It's the happiest season.
Advertisers, call the Nassar Guardian today at 302-2300 or call your account executive to get in on the 2-for-1 insertion deal. If it's uniforms, shoes, books, backpacks, calculators, art supplies, laptops, tablets, or whatever is on your back-to-school supply list, your ad should be in the Nassar Guardian's back-to-school supplement.
It's the most wonderful time of the
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. I see we have the lines lit up, and I finally found the article. Aaron found the article, which says, let me see if I can read the headline for Aaron. Davis pledges huge impact from cannabis. And the subline says, PM, new industry will create thousands of jobs. And that's what I have issue with. Thousands of jobs. I mean, what are they doing? I mean, how much sick people do we have? Let's go to the caller right here. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller, going once.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Can you? Yep, loud and clear.
Yeah, you hear me now?
Yes, I do.
Okay, sorry about that. Yeah. So I don't need casually following this religious marijuana exemption thing because I want to really decide of it. So is it just for liturgy or is it going to be for personal use?
I assume for the religious, you tend to commune with God through
liturgy, it. Liturgy, I guess. But liturgy is done, you know, in an official conduct by the church itself. But I mean, personal people who, in their own time, who are, you know, pious and they have.
So there's a.
They are adherent to their faith.
They are. Go ahead. Yeah.
So call it this. There is a there's an organizational license and a personal use license for religious purposes only.
And you have to pay for this license to get access to it.
So how do you authenticate this?
But they make exception for persons who say they're independent Rastas who don't belong to a specific Rastafarian faith or church.
Or the sect that they are a part of, they don't use the sacrament collectively.
Yes.
They use it individually.
And this authentication, this ain't just like relying on like superficial things, right? Because I've never locked on my head.
Well, but I assume that as you make application to, and you make that payment to use it, right? They'll have whatever formalities answering questions.
Well, anyhow, that's what I see. It's the government of God, the government of man, and the government of self. And I'm more concerned with the government of self as opposed to the other two. So I'll just carry on smartly.
And note that you cannot go and buy weed and you cannot go and sell weed.
Yes. Then.
So you need to find a way you can get this marijuana from.
Yeah. It come in the mail, man.
Okay.
It won't be dispensed like that.
No?
It won't be dispensed like that, sir.
You may have to go to a Rastafarian church to get your weed because you can't grow it.
Yes. And that's another thing. They should suspend or wash away all these people who have already received these minor infractions on their record. They're not really taking that one considered seriously.
We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah, man. Go ahead, read that article, Aaron.
Coming right now, PM pledges huge impact from cannabis. The impact of a legalized cannabis industry will be widespread. PM Davis said yesterday, adding that his administration is opening the door for the creation of thousands of jobs in agriculture, manufacturing, retail, and dispensary facilities and healthcare. Davis was speaking during debate in the House of Assembly on a compendium of cannabis-related bills. He touted the legislation as a critical step forward for the Bahamas and the fulfillment of a key pledge in the Progressive Liberal Party's Blueprint for Change. Before us is a new economic reality in which cannabis has the potential to play a large role in our economy, Davis said. The impact of the cannabis industry will be widespread, affecting many different sectors. By legalizing cannabis for medical use, we are also legalizing the many supporting inputs that are necessary for the industry. We have opened the door to...
Like what?
No, Ms. Has the Prime Minister said anything substantive yet?
Go ahead, sorry.
We have opened the door to the creation of thousands of jobs in agriculture.
For medical marijuana?
Manufacturing.
Of medical marijuana?
Yeah. Retail and dispensary facilities and healthcare. This industry will make a significant contribution to our efforts to diversify our economy through these subsectors.
So we're doing some kind of research thing?
There is a research license available because surely you have... See, medicinal marijuana, there are strains that are developed for specific illnesses and diseases and conditions.
I understand that.
Right? So a strain that would be used to manage seizures is not the same as a strain that would be used to enhance appetite for, say, a chemotherapy patient.
And I'm assuming that's science. That's the science of it. That's basically one entity could do all of that.
Right. So, well, not necessarily so. So in a space, you may have someone that applies for a research license that wants to determine if they can develop particular strains for particular purposes. It's just research. There's no intention on selling the initial crop. It's about developing a seed, right, that can be regrown. And you are also maybe researching the conditions in which you maximize the efficacy of that particular strain. The research could be about soil conditions necessary for cannabis growth indoor, outdoor, right? They're all avenues for the research component. It may also be a company that is simply providing the service of testing cannabis so that you understand the THC level, you understand the CBD level within the plant, you understand its best application, what dosages should be applied for this particular species.
And you're saying thousands of jobs coming from this?
I didn't say thousands of jobs.
Who said thousands of jobs?
The Prime Minister said thousands. Well, this article says that the Prime Minister says thousands of jobs. You notice I didn't note. There we go. Quote, We have opened the door to the creation of thousands of jobs. So they ain't saying they creating the thousands of jobs, but potentially thousands of jobs can be created. I'm not quite sure how they came to that number. And I'm imagining that you were questioning whether a medicinal cannabis sector alone could generate thousands, because not just say 1,000 jobs, thousands means more than one.
Man, I'm just saying about 500 would be good, but thousands. I mean, if he says so, he has vision.
So he doesn't need any medicinal cannabis because his vision is good.
I need to know our numbers in regards to patients, like that demand. Like, do we have thousands of Bahamians who are sick to the point that we need to have a mass production of medical marijuana?
I think that's the wrong approach. It's not a matter of do we have enough people who are sick. It's a question of how many conditions exist that people can basically manage with a cannabis therapy. For instance, people with chronic pain. How many people experiencing chronic pain are doing detrimental damage to damaging their kidneys because of the pain meds that they're constantly taking? And would a cannabis alternative be a safer treatment for those patients?
Anyway, if our prime minister say thousands of jobs could be provided, I believe my prime minister. I believe my prime minister. It's going to be a booming industry. And Bahamians can partner with these foreign companies. And then we can produce and export medical marijuana and compete against the United States and Canada.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio AM with
CA. You think this is the Olympics, but compete against the United States and Canada.
Yeah, gotta compete. That's how to make it profitable.